Hebrews chapter number 11. Again, we're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to turn over into the book of Judges tonight. So as we look at verse number 32, remember, I think last week was when we talked about the widow with the barrel of oil and how God blessed that because of her faith and because of the faith of Elijah. So in verse number 32 tonight, the Bible says, "And what shall I say more?" In other words, he's saying, "And what else could I say?" I mean, look at all these examples of faith and people in the Bible who really showed us their faith. And I don't even know that it wasn't done as a point to show us, but it was just done because they were being faithful unto God. And again, all of this is before Christ. So they hadn't even received that promise that they knew was coming. So in verse number 32, it says, "What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also Samuel, and of the prophets." And that's the only verse we're going to read tonight because I want us to look at Gideon, as he's mentioned here in verse number 32. And we'll probably look at some of these others in the next couple of weeks. But as we look at Gideon, we need to turn to Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. And now I've preached on Gideon a couple of times and read Gideon a few times and read about Gideon. And it's really one of those stories that never gets old. And I don't like saying story, but I don't know how to say that. One of these people in the Bible that it never gets too old to read about them. Because as you look at Gideon, I can see some characteristics in his life that I have in my life. And I'm not saying these are good characteristics. I'm just saying I can see these and then how that God used him. But as we look at Gideon, and we all know the story of Gideon, and we're going to look at it for just a few minutes tonight. But as we look at Gideon over in Judges chapter number 6, we find him in verse 11. Let's look in verse 11. Let me make sure I'm in the right chapter because we're going to get into chapter 7 too here in a little while. Verse number 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So at this point in time, Israel has kind of been overtaken by the Midianites. And as we find Gideon here, the Bible tells us that he is threshing wheat. And from what studying I've done, more or less what they've done is they took the wheat and they would throw it up in the air. And Preacher Fall, you can help me or somebody else if I get this wrong. But they would take this wheat and they would throw it up in the air and they would depend on the wind to separate the chaff out of it so that they would have the grain left when it was all said and done. So what they would normally do is they would take and go up on a hillside somewhere where the wind was blowing, and they would take and they would thresh this wheat. But as we find Gideon here, because of the circumstances that they're under with the Midianites, the Bible tells us that he is down by the wine press. Now, most of the time, these wine presses would be in the valley. They would be down where there was no wind blowing. So you can imagine how disgusted he probably was and how hard of a job that he had threshing this wheat, trying to separate the wheat out that he was, or the grain that he was looking for, by being down where the wind wasn't blowing. And he was doing that maybe a little bit out of concern, maybe some would even say out of cowardice, that he was afraid to be seen as he was down there threshing the wheat. And look what happens in verse number 12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now we got a man that's threshing wheat and he's down here hiding. He's hiding from the Midianites. Now, look, you could understand what the angel had to say to him. If he had been up there on that hill and he'd been singing him a song and he'd been threshing that wheat and just didn't care who saw him. But here you have a man he's down here and he's hiding. And he's threshing this wheat and not being very successful at it because he don't have the wind to blow the chaff away. He's not being very successful at threshing this wheat, but he's going to continue doing because he can stay hidden from the Midianites. So as this angel comes to him, how in the world does this angel look at him and say, "Thou mighty man of valor, Gideon"? Again, had he been up on the hill, maybe you would say that about Gideon. Let's continue reading. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles?" Look, he's got some questions that it seems like maybe we ask ourselves, and especially that we hear asked to us, well, if God is so good, why is this happening? Here they were in the middle of trouble with the Midianites, and he's saying, well, if God's with us, why has all this befallen us? "And where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So here this angel comes out and he says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor, even though you're hiding down here in the valley. And the first thing that Gideon says is, if God be for us, why is all of this happening? Why has God forsaken us? You see, as this angel comes to Gideon, there's a special thing that he wants Gideon to do, or that he says that God has called him out to do. Verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So as this angel is talking to Gideon here, and first of all calls him a mighty man of valor, and then he says, but you're getting ready to be the one that's going to be used to bring this all to an end. You're going to be the one that's being used to deliver the children of Israel here from the Midianites. And as this angel speaks to Gideon here, look at verse number 15 at what he says. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon began to tell him why he couldn't be the one that delivered. You know, sometimes I believe that when God speaks to us, we look at our ability first and begin to wonder and think and make reason why we can't do what God's telling us to do. We began to say, look, just as Gideon did here, he said, wait, I'm of the smallest tribe, I'm of the smallest family, and I'm the smallest in my family. Why? How in the world can God use me? Or why would I be chosen? But you know, it's not up to us to understand why God speaks to us and ask us to do things. It's up to us to understand that it is not us that has to do anything, that we just have to depend on God to use us. See, as the angel come and called him a mighty man of valor, and as the angel tells him that he's going to be the one to deliver Israel from the Midianites, and he was looking at his own ability. But you know, I believe that sometimes as we look at this, I believe sometimes that it is hard for God to use somebody that thinks they're worthy to be used. You know, I don't think that we as Christians are supposed to walk around and go, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy to be children of God. None of us are worthy to be Christians. None of us are worthy to be Sunday school teachers, deacons, singers, prayer warriors, teachers, preachers. None of us are worthy for any of that. It is only through and by the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us worthy for that. So what we need to understand is, yeah, no, we're not worthy, but God don't see us as not worthy, because when he sees us, he sees the blood of his darling son. That's what he sees when he looks at us. That's what makes us worthy. So I believe that it is hard for God to use someone that just goes, oh, I'm so good. I'm such a good Christian, and I walk so close to God. I'm going to do amazing things for God. I believe that it may be tough for God to use someone like that, because a lot of times the wrong person gets the glory with someone like that. But as the angel comes to Gideon here, let's go back to verse number 12 for one quick second, because I want you to notice something. As Gideon begins to make reason why he can't be used by God, and as Gideon begins to make reason why someone else should be chosen, see, he's forgot something very important that the angel said to him as in verse number 12. Look what he says. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. See, from right there, it's no longer about Gideon. Gideon was looking at it as it was about him. But I'm the least of the least. I'm not worthy. I'm from this little tribe in Manasseh. I'm from the smallest tribe, the smallest family, and I'm the least in the family. And there's no way that God can use me. And why would God want to use me? It's not about you, Gideon. It's about that God is with you. It's about who has chosen you. And that, you know what? When it comes to us, and when God asks us to do things that we're afraid to do, when God asks us to do things that we're not sure that we can do, when God asks us to do things that we don't feel worthy to do, guess what? It's not about you. It's all about him. See, if we remember in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? No, in your own might, you will fail. In your own effort, you will fail. If you go and you say that I'm going to do this, you'll fail. But if we'll just surrender unto God and say, God, if it's your will for me to do this, I'm going to surrender to what you want me to do, and I'm going to go out and do it. And God, all the glory is yours. God, the success is yours. God, the failure is yours. We know God don't fail, but what seems like failure is to us. God, whatever happens in this situation, it's yours. God can use you because it's no longer about you. It's all about him. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, as Gideon was looking at this, he was looking at his power and his might, and it's not about his power and his might whatsoever. I'm going to read to you out of Psalms chapter number 27, verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. It's not about you and your ability, because in our own ability we are disabled. We can't do it. But it is all about God's power, and if we allow God to use us for what he's called us to do. And you say, well, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, sometimes it takes a little figuring out. Sometimes it takes a little while what your gift is. We all have a gift of some kind. We all have a calling of some kind, maybe I should say. And as we look at our Christian life, if nothing else, if you say, well, I don't know what mine is, if nothing else, then we have all been commissioned to go out and spread the gospel. If you say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be a preacher or a teacher, and I don't feel like I'm a prayer warrior. Hey, if nothing else, and it's one of the greatest things you can do, is to go out here in a lost and a dying world and tell others about Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest things that we can do. And if we say, well, live your life the way that God's called you to live your life. And if you can't even speak up and say something sometimes, let somebody else see that God changed your life and that he's the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you don't feel like that you can do anything else, Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse number 17. I'm going to flip over there right quick. I like this little Bible app and I can't use it when I want to. Can you hit me Isaiah 54, 17, please? I'm sorry. Already there. No weapons. How about that? She's faster than I am on my phone. No weapons that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. See, you want to know why nothing? I mean, there's absolutely nothing that can be successful against you. What's the worst they can do? Kill you? Hallelujah. You're going to be in the presence of God. Now, we don't look at it that way. And I'm not going out here and tempting God and testing God and saying, well, if it ain't my time, I'm not doing that. But if the worst thing that can happen to me here on this earth is that I die, well, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So why in the world would I be afraid of that? There's nothing that can be successful against you. Gideon here, he's saying, I can't do this. I'm the least of the least. I can't do this. No, we can't, but God can. So in verse number 33 through verse number 35, we're not going to read it, but Gideon goes out and he starts gathering everybody that he can because he has been told that he's going to go up against the Midianites. The angel of the Lord has appeared to him. And he goes out and he starts gathering everybody that he can. We're going to go fight the Midianites. So he gets a good size army up. Then in verse number 36 through verse number 40. So you would think that Gideon already knows because he's went out and told everybody, hey, follow me, we're going to go fight the Midianites. But then we find Gideon have a moment of doubt or a moment of he needs to be reassured. So Gideon goes to God and he says, listen, God, y'all all heard of putting out the fleece. Anybody ever put out any fleece? Now, I'm not talking about physical fleece. I'm talking about you've said, God, if you want this, I need you to do this. Anybody done that before? Yeah, absolutely. I've done that. And not got any results before, and I've done that and was amazed what God did. But anyway, I won't go into my stories tonight. So Gideon puts out the fleece, and he says first to God, he says, God, I'm going to lay out this piece of wool, and if it's really you telling me to go up against the Midianite, in the morning I want the dew to fall on this piece of wool on this piece of wool only and everything else to be dry. So he gets up in the morning, and that's exactly what happened. Exactly what he asked God to do is what God did. And he goes out there, and he goes, okay, I'm going to do it. Nope, that's not what he did. He said, wait a minute, God. Now, I know you did exactly what I asked you to do, but let's try one more time. Let's just make sure on this. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I've had God answer exactly what I asked him to do and still go, well, let's make sure on this, God. So the next night, Gideon says, okay, tonight I'm going to lay the same piece of fleece out there. Let's just make sure that this wasn't just a coincidence. You know, I don't believe in coincidences with God. The Bible teaches me that my steps are ordered by the Lord and that he has complete control of my life. So the next night, as Gideon goes out and he lays out this fleece, he says, okay, God, so we're going to reverse it tonight. We're going to make sure that this didn't just happen. So tonight, I want the dew to fall on all the ground and just this piece of wool be all that's dry. Exactly what happened. So Gideon gets up and goes, let's go. And he jumps up and he takes all of his army and he's ready to go into battle. And then we get over into chapter number 7. So as we get into chapter number 7, we see that Gideon's ready to go into battle. And God stops him and goes, whoa, wait a minute, Gideon. Let me just tell you something. You're fixing to go up against the Midianites. And if you go back and read just a little bit, you'll read that the Bible says that the Midianites were as grasshoppers on the hill, that they was innumerable, like the sands of the beach, sands of the whatever you want to call it. I don't think they called it the beach in the Bible, but anyway, you hear me. So he's going up against a very large enemy. And God stops him and goes, hang on a minute, Gideon. We got a problem. You've got too many people. You've got too many warriors. And I'm sure that Gideon went, what, God? Now, wait a minute. You told me that we was going to do this. Now, I've accepted this. If you go back and read, though, there was even a statement that Gideon made when he was talking to God and said, if you're going to do it by my hand, then I need you to do this. See, it wouldn't be about Gideon's hand. It was to be by God's hand. So I'm not going to get into the whole story, but we know how they went down by the brook, and God said, here's what we're going to do. The men that drink this way, we're going to cut them loose. The men that drink this way, we're going to take them with us. And we look, and we see that there was 300 men that Gideon was able to take with him against all of these soldiers, against all of this big army that he was going to go up against. And God has told him that he's got the victory. Now Gideon has 300 men to go and fight this battle with. Now, that's when I think I'd have pulled the fleece back out of my pocket and laid it out there again. Said, okay, God, let's make sure one more time. But Gideon goes and he goes with these 300 men. And he goes up to fight against all of these people. Let's go to verse number 9 of chapter number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that the Lord's talking to Gideon, said, arise and get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Now look, Gideon's put out the fleece. The angel of the Lord has spoken to him. You would think that when God told him in verse number 9, he says, arise. He didn't say wait till morning. He said, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But then look what happened in verse number 10. Look what the next words were. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then when he went down with Pharaoh his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley, listen right here, like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as sand by the beach, excuse me, by the seaside. I want to see if y'all still with me. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So as we didn't get into all the battle, and you can go read it for yourself sometime, but as Gideon and his 300 men go down here in just a few minutes, and they rage war, a different kind of war. You should go read this if you've never read this before. Continue reading this when you get home. Give you some good study. But they go down and they have victory. But what I wanted to point out to you is this. As we looked right here, I think it was in verse 9 that it said it. No, verse number 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, down to the host. See, I think sometimes we misunderstand faith. I think sometimes, even as I've been reading these about these heroes of faith in the Bible and seeing the amazing things that God did, and even in some of the lessons that we've been teaching this, I would come across and just say, just trust God. Just, it's going to be okay. But see, when I read this, and I seen that Gideon got his instructions from the Lord, that he put out the fleece, God answered that. But still in verse number 10, after God said, get up and go, he said, but if thou fear. See, faith don't produce fearlessness, if that makes sense. See, sometimes I think we as Christians, we get kind of bound up and we get into a place that we're going, oh, my faith must be weak because I have fear. And there's different kinds of fear, okay? And there are some fears that we absolutely should not have as children of God. But here, I think sometimes just because we go into something and we're like, I'm not sure about this, because here Gideon is going with 300 men against this great number. And God even looked at him and said, but if you fear. And listen to what he told him. He said, you go down with thy servant. And when you hear the story that's told, you're going to be strengthened. See, that's our responsibility as Christians to one another, is to strengthen each other's faith. A lot of times I think we drain each other's faith. A lot of times I think we don't spend enough time lifting one another up. Hey, if you see me weak, you see me struggling, help me. If you see me in the middle of a battle, you see me in a place maybe like Gideon was here, and he's only got 300 men going against this army, and maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was like, ooh, I don't know about this. Strengthen me. Pray for me. Help me. This is the same way that I should you. But we should not be, as Christians, that faith is not always fearless, but faith always follows. And you say, what do you mean faith always follows? Our faith will follow God even when we may have fears. Sometimes that's tough. Gideon, hey, they looked at him and said, but if thou fear, go down. But don't let your fears keep you from putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, from putting your faith in what God has asked us to do, from being very, I don't want to call it boastful, but being very outward with your faith. See, sometimes fear can drive us to where we shut up our faith. Fear can drive us to a place that we don't express our faith. And I'm not just talking about in word, I'm talking about in our daily lives. Sometimes we get to the place that God may want us to do something. God may want you to go speak to your neighbor. That's tough, ain't it? To go talk to your neighbor and say, hey, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. Now see, it's easy to go talk to your neighbor and say, boy, your grass looks good. What do you do to that grass? It looks so good. That's easy. It's easy to go over and, I mean, you might have a neighbor that you can even, be careful with this one, pick with politics about. And that's a non-touch subject too, ain't it? But it seems like it. We'll talk about things like that, but how long has it been since you went and talked to your neighbor about Jesus Christ? Now look, that's your neighbor. That ain't my neighbor. Now I know the Bible tells us everybody's my neighbor. But listen, the people that I live with over in my little community, God has put me there. We want to talk about being missionaries. We want to talk about giving for missions. We want to talk about supporting missionaries. Well, how about becoming a missionary yourself right there in your own backyard? That's tough. That's real tough. It's tough for me. Because you know what, I don't know my neighbors. I mean, I've only lived there for about a year, and I don't know my neighbors. And they may not have the same view I do. They may absolutely not think, they might not even believe in God. But you know what? God may have put me there for that purpose. Don't let my fear keep me from following my faith. God will bless you. you might get run off. Anybody ever been run off witnessing? Yeah. Whew. It's not fun. I went with a preacher friend of mine one time. We went to see a man that had a heart attack, and we were pretty sure that he was lost. Real sure that he was lost, as sure as we could be about it. And we walk into his hospital room, and he looks at me and the preacher friend that I was with, and he said, "Get out of here. I don't have anything to say to you." "Okay, have a good night." And then we go out and say, "Get him, Jesus." That's the only thing you can do with something like that. But you know what? I'm still living to tell about it. It didn't hurt. It might hurt your pride for a few minutes, but we don't need to have that anyway. Where are we at with our faith? See, Gideon, we look at Gideon and we say, man, Gideon must have been so strong. No, Gideon was down there hiding from the enemy when God went and called him out and called him a mighty man of valor. And then Gideon questioned God to the fact that he laid out the fleece twice. And then Gideon even said, when he's told him there in verse 10, he says, "But if thou fear," what did he do? He went down. So there must have been some fear there. But don't let your fear keep you from following. Don't let it turn you around from what God's asked you to do. It might be something as simple as this. I'm sure y'all have had this happen too. When I was probably 17, 18 years old, I don't remember, I was sitting over at the horse sale one night, wasn't paying attention to what was going on, but I sat down and I had a hamburger, and this was actually just habit for me. We always did this in my house. You prayed before you ate. And I sat down there, and I took my cowboy hat off. I look good in the cowboy hat, by the way, just in case you never saw that. I took my cowboy hat off, and I prayed and just asked God to bless my food. Put my cowboy hat back on, and it wasn't just a minute. The guy came over and said, "You know what?" He said, "I just want to tell you that I noticed you praying over your food." I don't know if that man saved, lost, whatever. You know what? There was a little bit of me that I thought, well, I can just pray with my cowboy hat on. Nobody will ever know. And that's true. I could have. I could have prayed. Me and God would have known, man. We could have just fellowshipped in our heart. That's the way we talk about it, ain't it? Even when I go out to eat with my boss man, when I go out to eat with other managers, a lot of times I'll say, "Hey, guys, if y'all don't care, I'll say a blessing." And sometimes they already sitting there going, "We don't care," you know. But it's okay. But let me go ahead and say this. There has been times that I let my fear keep me from following. There's been times when I made the excuse and said, "Oh, they're already all eating. There ain't no sense in me. I would just not do that. I don't want to put anybody on the spot." Why not? One day, we're all going to be on the spot right before God. The books are going to be open. Hey, is there going to be people that think of me when they're standing there and say, "I wonder why Josh never told me about him?" Don't let your fear keep you from following your faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know that sometimes in my life that fear keeps me from following my faith. But as we look at Gideon, God, we know that you understand our fears just as you did Gideon's, and you told Gideon to go down and listen. And God, you understand my fears. But God, I know that you're strong enough to carry me through all of my fears. God, that you're strong enough to help me in any of my situations. And God, help me just to depend on you and trust you. God, help my faith to grow. God, I want to be able to go out here into a world that's lost and to tell others about Jesus Christ and to point them to the cross. And God, I pray that you'll help me to be the kind of person that my fear doesn't keep me from following my faith. God, we thank you for the ones that were saved Sunday. And God, may we help disciple them. God, may we continue to be a light in front of them. And God, I pray that you'll just continue to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.